Shout out to our sponsors, Clearwater Distilling. Utah County's only distillery is turning heads and quickly making a name for themselves. From whiskey to vodka, their unique innovation transforms the norm with incredible products like the Rene Armagnac, which is an aged French Armagnac with an American rye whiskey twist. Literally one of our favorite showcasers. Or their Scandalous, which is not like Fireball. It's an actual whiskey with quality cinnamon without any sugary taste. Also, Clearwater teams up to do a monthly cigar pairing where you come and get educated on how to properly smoke a cigar while pairing with Clearwater's lovely spirits. For more information, head to clearwaterdistilling.com, hit them up on all social media platforms, or just message us and we'll get you started on the right path. Open 7 days a week, even on holidays. Clearwater is a must. See you there. Until the next spirits, my friends. Shout out to our sponsors, King's Peak Coffee Roasters. Located on 412 South, 7th West in Salt Lake, King's Peak has a wonderful coffee shop and roastery with great atmosphere, delicious coffee, friendly baristas, and plenty of parking. Offering to help anyone willing to learn coffee, King's Peak is the place to go. King's Peak is ethically and sustainably sourced, believing that everyone in the coffee supply chain should be properly supported through fair compensation and powered by real human-to-human relationships. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 2, and Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 2, you will feel loved the moment you walk through their doors. For any questions or inquiries, or wholesale, visit them at kingspeakcoffee.com or just head on over. Good chance you'll see us there. Until the next coffee, my friends. You're listening to The Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, family, we are here in the heart of Hopkins, Hopkins Brewing, and I'm with one of my good friends, Mr. Leonard Gaff.
Flawless pronunciation.
Leonard, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure pre-gaming with you here, and looking forward to running my mouth off.
Are you kind of nervous? I'm curious.
Bit.
Why?
Yeah, a little bit.
Why are you nervous?
Well, I don't always love talking into microphones. And,
it's not like a can. We just talked about this.
Well, no, these are cans.
Oh, the ears.
These are cans.
Oh, why is that? Tell me the nomenclature behind that.
Really don't know.
So you're going to throw these words at me and have no idea why.
Well, in the nomenclature of the profession, you call the studio headphones cans.
Huh. I've never heard that term. Huh. So you said earlier that you, in another life, you did AV engineering?
Yeah, I went to school at one point for audio engineering. Learned how to do studio recording and sound design and that sort of thing.
That's really cool.
Did a little work on that after that, but just didn't really
resonate with you.
Yeah, I didn't find the groove there.
Gotcha. And this was the first attempt at school? Like that was your first, this is what I'm doing first.
Yeah, that was probably the first like higher education that I pursued.
Let's go back to the OG, Leonard. Let's go back, Jesus Christ.
Was that?
That's the old RO system.
Did I fuck up?
Purring over here.
Pull my phone out.
God, stop texting buzzing. and podcasting.
We got things to do, man. Like,
but let's go back to OG days. Where are you from, man?
I'm from New York.
What part of New York? Upstate or Long Island?
Yeah, like upstate New York, like central New York.
So
rural,
colorful New York.
Yeah. Rolling hills, lakes, trees.
Do you
miss
it?
Waterfalls, that kind of stuff. Yeah, of course.
Yeah? Winter's brutal out there compared to this last winter we had here in fucking Utah.
I mean, I grew up skiing, so winter's never been brutal. Actually, up until this year when I could not wait to stop shoveling.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying. So you grew up kind of a ski bum then, in a way. Love with the hills?
That's it, yeah. I mean, my family started taking me out skiing when I was like 2 years old.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it ever since, just getting more and more... into it over the years. In very recent years, maybe a little bit less, just with like family and work obligations.
Yeah.
But
right, told you, RL.
There it goes, man.
It's a little scary. No, but let it go back to the to NY days. So New York. So you're born and raised in New York.
Born and raised in New York, yeah.
How long did you live in New York?
Like Ithaca, New York, you know.
Ithaca, you said?
Kind of zone, yeah.
Okay.
Finger Lakes.
Is that what it is? No one knows what it is, so we have to like... if you say Vineyard, Utah, people are like, where's that? Like, Provo.
Right. Well, I know where that's at. Everybody knows where that's at. But that's where they make the boozy freeze pops that they send out of state.
Don't say that. It's a secret. No, but you know, it's one of those things, right? So what part, where was the actual city you're from in New York?
Ithaca. I'm from Ithaca.
Gotcha.
Portland,
so in case
area.
I'm trying to get into your passwords, it's like where I was born. I got to be able to write it down.
For sure.
So Ithaca, so how long were you there for?
17 years.
17 years. Yeah. Damn, son. And then after 17, what happened? I need to know.
Let's see. We finished high school, moved to Breckenridge, Colorado.
Did you graduate high school or finish high school?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I graduated.
All right, congrats. Yeah. It's one of those.
I mean, technically speaking, I guess I was done with it a couple of years before that. But, you know, I graduated high school, moved to Colorado to be a snowboarder.
Nice. Colorado, like Denver proper or somewhere close by?
Breckenridge, Colorado.
Breckenridge.
Yeah, up cool. In the mountains.
And did you just love that? So that's a dream come true?
It was cool, actually. It was sort of a weird place to be as a young kid, just to be on your own and be up in the mountains. And
were you solo, like no family?
No, I had a cousin that lived out there. Went and caught up with him and got put up with a cheap like closet to live in and just, you know, got like a... You say just like I got a job like setting up skis in a rental shop and
a free pass, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
No way. How long did you do that for?
On and off I was there for about 10 years.
10 years? So you must have loved it.
It was good.
What were you doing on the off time? Do you stay in Colorado?
Sometimes I would, sometimes I wouldn't. Yeah. Kind of cruise around.
Damn. That's dedication, my man.
Yeah.
It's really cool to be on your own that early in life and kind of being on your own. I respect that.
Well, you always go back and touch base with the family. And you know what I mean? It's not like on your... You're never really on your own. I mean, well, maybe you are, but...
I mean, you were thousands of miles away from the family. And yeah, your cousin technically is family, but you're literally a 17-year-old on your own for 10 years? That's pretty cool, dude.
Yeah.
You don't hear that story often. Usually people fly from the nest at 18, 21, 25. Nowadays, like 27. Which time do you get off the insurance? 26?
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, well, I did go home here and there and, you know, spend some time staying with the family and, you know, go back for the summer.
Gotcha. So then were you into drinking while you were there? Beer, craft beer specifically?
Craft beer? I mean, well, I've been drinking craft beer for a long time. Wouldn't say that I really got into it until... later years, but yeah, I was definitely into drinking while I was there.
So
that's what you do in that town.
What about like 17, 18? We were trying, doing some craft beering back in the day, or did you wait?
Not really. I mean, these days it's probably not street cred, but when I was 18, we did get a keg of Sam Adams for my birthday.
Oh, hell yeah.
So
it's a good party.
Yeah.
Sam Adams. Good for
back
you.
Back in those days, that was craft beer.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, think about it. So think about, or ask me, you keep saying, I mean, you act older than I feel like you are. How old are you, if you want me asking?
42?
Yeah, you don't look 42, brother. So
appreciate that. We all used to like to call Breckenridge the Fountain of Youth.
Fountain of Youth? Is that why you guys look so young?
Yeah, well, a lot of us didn't really have responsibilities for a...
So you weren't stressed out? Is that why you have little, very little or to no gray hairs?
I've popped a bunch of gray hairs in the last
just
few
recently.
Years.
Yeah, so in your 40s, you motherfucker.
That's how it goes, man.
So then talk to us about after Breckenridge. What happened then? After the 10 years were up?
You know, during the time when I was living there, I ended up meeting my wife.
Oh, what was her? What is her name? Not what was her name.
Her name is Sniggs, and she's very wonderful. We met up out there. She is from here.
And, Salt Lake?
Yeah. She's from Ogden. Mm. And during the time that we were getting to know each other, we were both ready to leave Breckenridge. We'd both been there for quite some time, and she had various different ideas, but I wanted to move to Salt Lake City.
Did she do the same thing, kind of leave when she was... you're around your same age?
Yeah, we're fairly well the same age, yeah. So I think like a year off or something.
Did she do the same, like, 10-year living in Denver, Colorado area, Breckenridge?
She was out there for a while, yeah, and she kind of did a bunch of various things, and then we met up, and I convinced her into moving out here for a minute.
So was it love at first sight?
You could say that. I mean, possibly. We had a little bit of a contentious relationship at first because we were coworkers.
Uh-huh. But then, I mean, you guys moved together in Salt Lake City. How'd you convince her to move to Salt Lake City?
By promising that we would only be here for 2 years. That was...
So you lied to her.
That was 14 years ago.
But it took you how long to get out of Salt Lake? 9 years?
Yeah, I think... Yeah, we were here in Sugar House for... Yeah, something like that. Yeah, maybe
that's awesome. So shout out, and I'm glad... So you guys now have kiddos.
Here we got a couple of kids. Yeah.
How many kids do you have?
Three and five. A pair of daughters.
Wow, that's beautiful. Are we planning on having any more by chance? Dunzo.
Yeah, we're all set.
Dunzo. So you got a house full of the ladies.
House full of ladies.
And you train them, raising them to be ski bunnies as well?
You know, my kids, they're not really into skiing.
Hmm. Is the wife still into skiing?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. She gets out maybe a couple of times a year.
Yeah.
We've been a little bit more, in the years that we've lived here, I've gotten a lot more into Nordic skiing, cross-country skiing.
What's the difference between Nordic skiing and cross-country? Is it the same thing?
Nordic skiing, I think technically is like anything where your heel is free. So it would include like telemark skiing and like ski jumping.
Oh, okay.
But also cross-country skiing.
So how did you find a little passion for that? Why is that different? Like, why not just downhill skiing?
You know, I grew up doing it, and I don't think I ever really fully appreciated it. And then I started splitboarding right around the time when we moved here, and I started really enjoying that, just like moving through the mountains and just sort of the freedom that comes along with that mode of travel in the snow. And cross-country skiing was like a natural progression of that.
Huh. Is it difficult to do that?
I don't think so.
Gotcha. Is it because
I've been told otherwise, but I've been doing it since I was a kid, so.
So you know how to do it, you know the ins and outs. It's kind of second nature, third nature almost, because you're just so used to it.
Yeah, it's like walking down the street, right?
Because for me, I feel like it'd be just taxing and hot and sweaty and fuck this. That's what I think in my mind, because I don't do
any of it. Well, you're kind of just like walking.
Yeah, that bores me.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of walking, but if there's some sliding involved,
okay. I'm down. Now you're starting to sex it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like roller skating, rollerblading,
like,
yeah,
just kind of shushing around.
Shushing around. I love that. I haven't heard that for a while, but I would do it. Now that you've sexed it up a little bit, I would do it. I'd try it out. What's cool. What's some do's and don'ts of Nordic skiing?
I'd say number one, don't gear up.
What does that mean?
Don't gear up. People are like, oh, I'm going out in the snow. Oh, this is going to be gnarly. I better put on like snow pants and like a big jacket and all
like
this
17
stuff.
Layers.
Gotcha. Yeah. But you're like walking, you're like kicking and gliding. And
yeah.
It's really easy to get overheated. And then you get sweaty, then you get cold.
No good. You're going to have a bad time.
Yeah. Always underdress.
So I'm thinking I'd bring some slacks.
Khakis, yeah.
And then a tank top. Sounds about right?
It's usually about how I go.
I can see this now. So then you did that. I love this passion because you're still doing it. So you enjoyed this last winter then?
It's been really good. I haven't been out as much as you might think, yeah, as much as I would have thought I would be. Various reasons for that. But the times that I was out, it was really good. I had to what? What's today? So 2 weeks ago,
today's
probably...
Monday.
It's Monday, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it felt like a Monday.
Felt very Monday, I guess.
Yeah.
Now that you mention it. Two weeks ago, I had probably one of the best powder days I've ever had in my life.
What is it? Okay, this is someone that does not ski or snowboard. I don't care for it. I tried like a decade ago, so I can probably give it another, solid go.
It's bedtime.
Yeah. What is a good powder day look like, or why is it a good powder? What makes it good?
I mean, it's a combination of factors, right? There's the amount of snow that came down overnight, but also during the storm cycle. There's the density of the snow as it came down. There's the current weather that's happening while you're out there riding. There's a lot of things that go into it, but realistically, it's just like, oh yeah, if it's deep and the consistency of the snow is right, it's just
magical.
Too good. Yeah. There's a real magic that's going on there.
I don't know how to correlate that. I'm like, this is, I like it in this aspect or whatever. I don't know. But it sounds beautiful. I like when people are like, it was a good powder day. I'm like, huh, good.
You're
I'm glad.
Cool, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I'm happy for you, but I wish I could experience that without having to experience that, or at least experience it without it be my first time. I feel like if you just took me to a powder day, I wouldn't like it.
You would. If you were out there with us that day, 2 weeks ago, you would have had the worst day.
That's what I'm saying. But if you're experienced, that's what you're looking for. That's the best. Send it to me, right?
Well, maybe that's part of it, right? As like, it's like a whole lifetime of experience leading up to like this moment where like the conditions are right and
perfect storm, if you will.
Right.
No pun intended.
Well, it's like an apex kind of thing, right? Like, it's like, yeah, I've been skiing my whole life. Like, get to the point where I'm like, good enough to do this thing, and I live in a place where this thing happens.
I can see the appeal to it. That's really cool, actually. Not that I've dissed it, but I just don't know. I haven't understood it, right? But, oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't hear it. I'm pouring a beer.
Leonard is pouring a beer. You liking it?
It's good. It's really nice. Good bitterness there. Really nice herbal.
Look at you. So, now... Let's go to the beer more. So oh, Utah, yeah. Been here for quite some time. Talk to me about some craft beer you got. Utah craft beer that really excited you. You got into craft beer. How?
I did. Yeah, I got into craft beer living here. Honestly, shout out to DABC for that. Really,
get out. Shout out DABC, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just moved here, and like when I moved here, things were still pretty weird. Private clubs and. All of that sort of just strangeness. And I just felt like I couldn't get a beer that tasted right. So I started brewing my own.
Oh, really? How long ago?
Oh, 2009.
Okay.
And I got really into it for a period of time. And that just naturally led into getting into craft beer.
How long do you homebrew for? Do you still homebrew?
Technically, I mean, I got a shed full of stuff, shed full of gear.
Yeah? When's the last time you popped that up?
Got a bunch of corny kegs if anybody's in the market.
When's the last time you put that shit out?
Last time I brewed, it's probably been 4 or 5 years since I brewed a beer.
What's what excited you or enticed you to brew? Why? Because you want to make it yourself? You wanted to make your own?
You know, I just was like...
Budweiser wasn't doing it for you?
I said, but that was the thing. When I first moved here, I primarily was drinking Budweiser and Pabst. And then suddenly I could only get the grocery versions of those. And they weren't cutting it for me. And it was a foundational experience for me to like get a beer and be like, no, that doesn't make the cut. Because before, I'd had beer. Like, I mean, drank a lot of craft beers, Full Sail stuff back in the day, and or like grown up in New York, like we get our hands on like some Brooklyn stuff or
yeah,
whatever. Middle Ages out of Syracuse, really cool stuff.
Some Yinglings out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we weren't getting Yinglings back in those days. Back in those days, it was still PA only, but, it was like, I'd have a beer and I'd be like, oh yeah, I like that, but it's not really for me.
Okay.
But coming out here and trying that grocery store, like Pabst and Bud, I was just like, man.
Gotcha.
That just ain't it.
What was in your powder days?
What's that?
It wasn't your powder days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it just wasn't hitting. So I was just like, oh man, like, could I do a better job? Well, probably not, but I'm going to try.
You attempted at it. So then let's go down that rabbit hole. So you went to homebrewing, and then how far did that go? Because you're obviously in the industry now. So how did it lead into getting into the industry?
You know, my first entry into the industry was I actually got a job packaging at Uinta.
Okay.
2000 something or other.
Okay. In the 2000s?
Yeah. In the early 2000s. I got hired over there, and I was just working on the bottle line, doing canning, kegging here and there.
Okay.
I did that for a little while. Just didn't really add up.
Yeah.
Went and did some other stuff, and then eventually came back to beer a few years after that. But in more of like a front of house kind of role.
Ah, so did packaging kind of turn you off from making the beer?
No, I don't think so. No, it didn't turn me off from making the beer, but it did make me realize that no matter what I did, like once I started learning about like the technical aspects and really the control that professional brewers have over what they're doing, I realized I was never going to do anything at home that was better than what these guys are doing.
Gotcha.
At
so
the shop.
Did that kind of deter you a little bit?
No, not really. I still kept on homebrewing for quite a few years.
I'll say. Okay. So then you're packaging, and then you said you went on a little hiatus. You kind of left for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Do we want to say what we did for a couple of years?
I was just building mountain bike trails.
Okay. Gotcha. So you're really outdoorsy then, there, Leonard.
I mean, you know, I kind of just...
If you're not skiing, what are you doing in the summer? You biking?
Yeah, bike riding. I don't really bike ride as much as I used to, but that's kind of like
camper,
that's kind of like
outdoorsy kind of guy.
We camp a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I've always liked camping, but
I like this
with the babies. We're not camping all the time.
Gotcha. But they're old enough to get jobs. Let's go, Leonard.
Let's go. They're by their own tent.
Right. Put them in their own tent. And then came back to brewing. What got you back into brewing? Or I guess the beer scene, excuse me.
You know, I never lost that love. I still wanted to do it.
So where'd you go after that?
But it just wasn't, the production side just didn't really add up for me. So I took this gig working in the beer store over at Red Rock.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, just doing the bottle shop thing. I was like, oh, this would be, if it's terrible, I can just leave. If it's cool, I can get down with it. And the crew that we had over there at that point in time was super cool. And that ended up, like, I just ended up getting in the groove over there. And
who was in the crew over there?
Well, Lauren Lurch, who I
don't know,
you know.
Never heard of her.
No. She's this wonderful human being who brews beer at Uinta now.
Fascinating.
And is a dear friend, and just the greatest. Lauren was in the beer shop at that time, and just getting to know her and talking about beer all the time and learning just really fired me up about like the whole deal. Jaron Anderson was there at the time, just the best, and a number of other people.
Good.
Really, really cool time and place to be at that spot.
It's like the beginning of some legends in the making. Yeah. Like you're literally naming off some legends.
Yeah.
And how I see your legends in the Utah beer scene.
Yeah, that was great. And Andrew Rinaldo, I don't know if you know him, mm-hmm. He's still over there, just making wonderful beer day in, day out. Like,
I love it.
really good people over there. And they really like welcomed me into their group, and I just got really into it. Started doing more and more as I worked in the beer shop and branching out into doing events and stuff. And
oh, sick.
Eventually ended up doing sales there.
At Red Rock.
Yeah.
Cool. And then how long were you in the sales there at Red Rock? Oh, we're digging deep God today, dude. Leonard. Get ready.
You know what? I should have prepped. I like to come in raw dog. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're raw dogging this right now.
I don't know. Maybe. I think I was probably there for a total of 4 or 5 years.
Damn. Okay.
I probably did sales for about 3 years. Which
did
was
you enjoy
really,
sales?
I did. It was really cool. It was really interesting over there too, because at that point in time we were doing a self-distribution thing. So I was able to just have like direct involvement with everything that I was doing.
Yeah, way more hands-on back then.
Yeah, it was really super cool. Hands-on.
Do you still have connects or ties with Red Rock?
A little bit. I saw my friend, Chucky over there. At the Ogden Beer Fest the other day. It was nice to see him.
Ogden Beer Fest. And that's where you currently live, right?
Yeah, I live in Ogden, yeah.
Man, that's would you call Ogden the original O-Town? I had this debate with some friends of ours.
What else would be O-Town?
Orem, Utah.
Orem?
Yeah.
No way.
Stop. For Utah County folk? What do you got?
I mean, I don't think that I would ever call Ogden O-Town, but I do believe that it's the original.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with this. I mean, I can't debate it because I can't. But when you're in the Utah County bubble,
yeah,
and the only weird ass word is Orem,
that's kind of a weird name.
You know what I mean? So I'm that's the original. What else is gonna be cooler than that? And then you got fucking Ogden. Okay, cool. Yeah,
I don't know. There's a bunch of weird names.
At least you have breweries in Ogden. You don't have any in Orem. Think you have two dive bars in Orem.
Fair enough.
And a Wingnuts.
I think I've been to that Wingnuts.
And I think a Chili and Applebee's. I think that calls it. That's the scene in Orem, Utah, I believe.
There's a... Isn't there a hotel bar by the Harmons? I don't know. It's been a long time since I was on that beat. It's been a long time since I was on that beat.
One Harmons in Orem. See, there's one Walmart in Orem, so they're big enough to have a Walmart. There's a church on every corner.
Yee.
And... yeah, that's about it.
Well, that's why you don't have any bars, because there's a church on every corner.
Boom. But one day we'll... O-Town, I guess it's not the original O-Town, but maybe for the religion it is the original O-Town. Hmm? Maybe?
True, I guess.
I'm just going to say it's the newer O-Town, call that. So then you left Red Rock. What happened? Where did you go after Red Rock?
You know what? I just... Uinta gave me the opportunity to move out of sales and into marketing.
And why did that entice you? Why did marketing entice you more than sales?
It's a different new challenge.
And when did you go to Uinta? What year do you remember? Today is 2023.
19? Yeah.
So right before the world ended. And then
right before the world,
you got the job in Uinta.
Yeah,
marketing.
Yeah, field. I got hired as a field marketing manager, and the goal was to just be cranking events. Like they had been sort of low key in the scene for a little bit, and they were like, you know, we want to be more like actively involved. We just haven't had the people to really do it.
Yeah,
and that was sort of my like. Original role when I came in.
But the big fuck you happened in 2020. And so how did that alter your job?
Man. That?
Because the first time I met you, Leonard, was at a beer fest. But that was after COVID.
Was it after COVID?
Yeah, I think that was last year. I met you last year at the Brewers Fest.
At the Brewers Fest, yeah.
Nick Clapp.
That was the first time? I seen you at beer fest before that. Well, but I don't think we ever...
Then you never came and said, hi, you selfish son of a bitch.
You know, I'm always stuck in the booth, man, pouring the beers.
Nah, I just purposely get out of it, and everyone gets mad at me.
It's hard to miss the guy with the big hair and the I think probably I definitely saw you before that because you were wearing like a jumpsuit or something.
Oh yeah, I got scorned for that one. But yeah, I wore a onesie to the Utah Beer Fest.
Was that the one? I remembered seeing you, and then you had just this big fucking hair, and I was like, oh man, like just. Dude's like the Mars Volta out here.
Who's this guy? Yeah, the funny thing is,
that year was wild.
That
though.
Was a
and
brutal
it was
one.
A mess. Like, was a, there was it was there was beer flowing down the
last
gutters.
Last year was better, but the year that year was that was 2021.
That was the year that we had the big storm and we had to like hunker down.
Yeah, that's right. The first day. That's right. So, the funny story about the jumpsuit was everyone remembers that apparently, but. I was supposed to go. I thought I was going to the beer fest. I didn't realize I was working the beer fest. And so I went with the intention of like.
You're always working the beer fest.
But I, in my mind, I was just going because I was going, right? And I'd happened to. I didn't know how to. What was going to happen. I never. Because COVID. I became a brewer and then COVID happened. Or COVID happened and then I became a brewer. Never to once go to the beer fest, right? I had no idea what to sign up for. Didn't know you had to support your brewery and wear your brewery's gear. Now I know, but
I mean, you could. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if anybody really mandates that, but
you kind of want to rep your gear, right?
I mean, so I just opened the chest hairs. I'm trying to get my own clothes sprayed with beer when the jockey.
It was a onesie,
you know?
Leonard. I'm getting that sprayed with beer.
You trying to ruin that thing when the jockey pops?
That's fine.
But, no way.
But yeah, that's I was a good year, fun year. But yeah, so that's you.
That was a fun one. That was that day was insane.
But then when you and I like actually met eye to eye, had a good conversation, that was when you give me the Imperial Baba. I remember that. And that beer was like, beer. What are you giving me right now? Because I was giving you our Lichtenhainer, that smoked sour.
Yeah.
And you gave us, you get like, I'm going to trade you for this.
Oh, that smoked sour was dope. I forgot about that.
And then you're like, try this Imperial Baba. I'm like, Imperial Baba?
Imperial get Baba, wrecked. Baby.
It was phenomenal. I loved it. It was great. I enjoyed it.
Well, you know what? And that's fucked up too. And that's on me. That's... A major miss, but I got a couple of those left in my work fridge.
We're gonna have to have a.
I should have brought that today.
I apologize. Bottle share
profusely.
Don't worry about that. But I like that. Let's see, where was I going with that? You went to marketing. Now you're doing more events. You're getting out there more.
You know, we started doing events again. I mean, you know, so there's a weird, sort of shift that happened with us. We had a wonderful graphic designer. Who moved on right before the COVID thing happened. And we were actively looking to replace her. And then the COVID deal, you know, everybody's like, oh, you're not allowed to come to the brewery anymore.
Yeah.
And there was sort of a, like, hey, well, you know how to do this stuff too, right? And I was like, yeah, well, yeah, kind of. I sort of grew into that role like during the shutdown along with the other half of my marketing tools, Gruesome Twosome.
What's
that's
this?
that's our trademarked name for our marketing department.
Get out of here.
I mean there's two of us, so it's the other individual? Kind of a no-brainer, you know. Jeremy Worrell he's got a new fancy title. What is it? Vice President of Brand Development, I think.
Damn, that sounds fancy dancy.
But now we're the marketing tools. We're the Gruesome Twosome, and we do the graphic. So we used to have a much larger department, and we kind of during COVID just started getting things done and been running with that ever since. So
good.
We're the ones who make, you know, all the visuals and all the graphics.
Are you also in charge of social media?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how would you compare social media? You went to a social media game or marketing game to the rest of Utah's beer scene?
I don't know. I don't know. I try not to really like compare it to other folks. As much as I can, I really try to just do our own thing.
Gotcha.
I try to just, you know, keep it interesting and, you know, every once in a while, you know, you got to do your little sales pitch kind of social media, like, hey, check out our new beer kind of deal. But to me, it's like the primary focus is like, you know, interesting, well-made visuals, and I don't, you know, sometimes I don't always get there.
Gotcha.
What about I try my best to.
Like these individuals who have, you know, those influencers out there that just have a Uinta in their hand. Like, you know, why aren't we seeing more of that? Why aren't we seeing more of a Uinta in the general public? In the posts, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. You know, people reach out to us all the time about like, oh, hey, like I want to be an ambassador. I want to do this. And we just don't really, that's not where our focus is.
Yeah.
And realistically in recent years, a lot of people have been monetizing that kind of stuff, which is very cool. And I respect all the hustle that people are doing, but, we've just never budgeted for that.
Gotcha. Cause you did say that, you know, you guys were being kind of quiet for a while, right? And then you came in, you know, and then COVID happened. And then you think you went to still kind of quiet, or are they picking it back up a little bit?
You know, I think we like to lean in where we can, and, but we don't really try to overextend.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
but you look at Uinta, it's like what, the biggest brewery in Utah, right?
We are. Well, it depends on, I think, how you quantify it. Different people can quantify things different ways. But
you look at top dogs in Utah, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we're absolutely like the strongest brand in Utah.
Yeah.
Technically, I think we're not the biggest brewery because there are others that are part of larger groups.
Gotcha. I see where you're going with this.
But yeah, I mean, we're heavy. We're certainly the actual largest, physically largest breweries.
Right. So I feel like you guys have a lot of pull in a way. Weird, non-voted in way, right? I feel like Uinta, when you think Uinta, you think you cutthroat. And the OGs. I remember one of the first beers I ever poured was at bartending in Sundance was Hoodoo.
Oh, yeah.
Man, when that was...
Hoodoo was cool.
Old, like, we're talking about back in the day, Hoodoo. I fucking love that beer. Bring that beer, like... I like that. I want to see that.
And
like,
we're still doing Hoodoo. We still do Hoodoo.
On taps, though. I want to see it like in bars. I used to see it in bars all the time.
In Southern Utah. We only make it in a limited manner now. Man. And we only send it down to Southern Utah.
So I have to go to Southern Utah for that beer?
You got to do it, man.
Yes. Fuck. Here we go.
Hard times.
Gotta go. The Red Rock.
Gotta go down to Cedar City.
I love it.
Get some Hoodoo.
What's some goals you have in being part of Uinta as in the marketing department?
You know, like, for me, it's just about, like, broadening the skill set. Like, I love learning new things and trying different, like, methods of content production and just working on relearning. Like, you're always relearning when it comes to, like, photo editing and video editing and that kind of stuff. Part of the draw for me with the opportunity was to be part of such a like a strong organization and have the opportunity to like learn how like the big dogs operate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because you guys are considered big dogs here in Utah, I feel like. You got a lot of cool people in the scenes there at Uinta, brewing, front of house, back of house. You know, packaging, all of it, right?
Yeah.
What's something that excites you being a part of the Uinta team?
God, man, for me, there's so many different aspects that had me wanting to come back, and a lot of it was people. I mean, we've got a great team.
Oh yeah.
And at the same time, I mean, it's the quality and the consistency. You know, I mean. Even when I didn't work for Uinta, even before I ever got into craft beer, it was the primary beer that I bought.
Gotcha.
And I was like, man, they must have a really cool scene there, you know, to be doing something that seems this cool. There's got to be good folks. And then I got in there and I was like, oh yeah, these guys are great.
Yeah. I like walking through Uinta's team because yeah, you have some cool cats. And you have some cats that have been there for quite some time, too.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to Jeremy Raganitz about this. And, you know, it's really cool to see how a lot of cool brewers and breweries have started from learning first at Uinta. UNT has been almost like a guiding tool to help individuals begin their path along the Utah craft beer scene or craft beer in general.
It's almost like we've talked about it before, how UNT is almost like an incubator.
I like that. Yeah.
You know? And not in the way that, you know, we're purposefully,
yeah,
you know,
I get you,
building up other breweries. But I mean, when you look at all the guys that are out there crushing it with their own spots.
Yeah. But they had to learn somewhere.
Who got a start.
And you guys facilitated a great way and opportunity to help these individuals thrive, grow.
And I think, I honestly think no matter where you go, like, that same sort of thing replicates itself. You know, if you're anywhere where there's like a large brewery that takes a lot of people to operate it, you're going to end up having these sort of, not like spinoffs, but like you're going to have these smaller breweries that pop up around it because people got the experience that they needed to do their own thing.
Yeah. So you'll be on the marketing side, you've seen this. You kind of went to the packaging side, left a little bit, did the marketing side. You work with a great team. You see all sides of the house. Do you ever wish you could go back or do any other parts of it, like go into the hot side, cold side, front of house, back of house? Do you ever want to like go back and like, hey, I want to go learn this real quick?
Yeah, you know, I mean, to an extent. I know I used to have a conversation with the homies back at Red Rock, and they'd be like, oh, man, yeah, you're just kind of like cruising around, hanging out with people. Like, that's cool. Must be so much fun. And I'm like, man, you come into work in the morning. You got a list of things to do. You do them. You go home. That sounds pretty fucking awesome to me right now. Because I wake up every morning and it's like, yeah, I got a list of things that I probably ought to do. Things I got to do. But then other things always come up.
Okay.
You know, like sales, marketing, it's what? There was a guy that I worked with a few years ago, and he said, sales and marketing, man, that's squishy. You can't quantify it. You can't, like, cage that.
Mm.
You know, it's always, like, nebulous. It's always changing. So there's no real, like, cornerstone there, you know? Like,
yeah, I get you.
Salespeople, marketing folks talk about, like, KPIs and all these, you know, buzzwords or things like that, and they're like, oh yeah, well here's what you have to quantify against, but it's all just people, man. You know, it's people, and it's the industry, and it's the marketplace, and everything's always changing. So you're always adjusting to that, where like and I know on the wet side, like, yeah, you always got to change to like demand and throughputs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But
I see where we go with this.
But the fact remains, like, it's like, okay, I'm gonna come in today, I'm gonna clean this tank, I'm gonna brew this beer, boom, boom, boom.
And then you can set it and forget it and come back tomorrow.
And then you leave until you're at home being like, yo, did I forget to turn that pump off?
Oh yes, the pressure's still going, building. Is the PRV blown up yet?
Yeah.
Oh, I get you.
Oh my God, where did I set that dial?
Right. So I see the people, right? You do a lot of people stuff. You do a lot of things with people. So what is it like to, like, do you get exhausted by always having to deal with people? Left and right, left and right, left and right?
I fucking love people.
Yeah?
I mean, I hate people too, but, you know.
Yeah.
Love people more than I hate people.
Gotcha. So it makes it kind of...
I love interacting with people.
Interacting. So
whether it's positive or negative.
Does that benefit your job then?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
It's all just talking to people.
Yeah. So do you have to go on like cold calls and cold sales sometimes?
I still do that sometimes. Yeah. I am the sales rep for Northern Utah for UNT.
Gotcha.
So I do still go in and cold call people and, you know, do all of that sort of thing.
Right.
I'm fortunate, though, in that most of the folks that I interact with in that area are people that I've known for a long time. So,
that's really cool.
You know, short of, like, changes in ownership or...
Yeah, but I feel like you've been in the scene for quite some time. You've been...
It's been a minute.
You know the rounds.
Holy moly, Chad's been out in the sun.
Yeah, should we call him out?
Use some sunscreen.
No, but so we're going to go refuel real quick,
buddy. Yeah.
So I'm going to hit this real quick. Refuel, come back, and maybe we'll bring on the chat, see what happens. Shout out to our sponsor, Solstice Malt. Solstice Malt is Utah's only craft malt house producing premium malt from local barley, oat, rye, and wheat. From farm to bag, Solstice Malt has a loving hand in each step of the way. Floor malted, flaked, raw, roasted, smoked, and everything in between, Solstice Malt does it all with pristine technique. Supplied and trusted by breweries, distillers, and all brew supply stores in Utah, we highly recommend using grain from Solstice Malt. For any inquiries or any questions, reach out to Solstice Malt on all platforms or shoot them an email at solsticemalt@gmail.com. Remember, without malt, there is no beer. Until next malt, my friends. Outlaw Distillery's Bourbon Barrel Aged Hot Sauce is back on the shelves. Also, head on over to meet the newest distiller in our Outlaw family, Connor Kelly. With experience from places like High West, Connor helps turn up Outlaw's premium game. Head on over to Outlaw Distillery located at 552nd West, 8360 South, Midvale, Utah for a tour and tasting. Their staff is well-trained and leads with full passion. With homegrown grain to glass, Outlaw Distillery carries some of our favorite weekday sippers, like vanilla bean rum, spiced rum, honey bourbon, and that delicious bourbon whiskey. Trust us when we say it should be outlawed. It's so good. Yeah. Until the next spirits, my friends. Oh, hey, I'm just going to do it.
Just let it rip.
That was nice.
That's a good sound right there, man.
Salud.
Salud. Cheers, brother.
By the way, we're opening the Caravan.
Hey, that's Caravan Double IPA.
IPA? What the fuck's an IIPA?
IIPA.
IPA.
I don't know. It's Double IPA.
I like this beer.
Is it a Roman numeral 2?
2PA?
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 Or is it a Imperial IPA?
I don't know.
It's both.
I like this can because in this artwork when you guys came out with it, because you're keeping the compass on top and you're keeping the kind of like the old school, like you're keeping the compass theme.
Yep.
And I like that I can look at this and see hops, malt, body, and color.
I like this one because we just cranked hops like
it's almost
all the way up.
Should have just like filled it all the way up.
It's like, well, I was tempted to. This was actually probably one of the first print layouts for a printed can that I did. And I was very tempted to crank the hops all the way up. And I mean, obviously, like, those metrics are like a collaboration between like us and the brewers, and we're looking at like the flavor and everything, and I was like, man, this thing is like so hoppy. Let's just like kick it to the roof. But if you kick it to the roof, then there's nowhere to go.
Yeah, you're right. There's no room for growth.
But this thing is hoppy as fuck.
Oh yeah. But I mean, it's not over the top where I can't drink anymore. It's not a muddled mess. That's right. When I first had this, Graham gave it to me actually.
Oh yeah.
And I just enjoyed the hell out of it.
I miss you, baby.
I miss Graham. I do. Mr. Doherty.
R.I.P. He's a legend in the scene. Big fan of Dave Matthews Band.
He is? I was going to say, Jesus.
It's a little fun that we like to have at his expense.
Oh, I love inside jokes. Can't wait to be a part of one.
Well, now you are.
I like the fact that you helped make this beer.
I didn't help make it.
Yes, you did.
I didn't do shit.
Right in front of us. Tell us the story behind this label and everything that you did with this.
So we work with a lovely group of people out of, where are they? Nashville, I believe. Who do a bunch of illustrations for us. They have for a long time. It's a long-standing relationship that predates, my tenure at Uinta. And we talked to them, and we described to them sort of a scene that we had in mind. We wanted to keep this close to Detour IPA with the, you know, the iconic, like, Scout International calling the Airstream.
Yeah.
And just tie everything together. But we wanted it to be, like, slightly different.
And it is slightly different.
Yeah.
But it's still
enjoyable. But it's still the same. So if you see the trailing vehicle on this label is basically the exact same thing as on Detour. So it's like a reference, you know.
On the one point, the third Airstreamer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same. That's the Hoppy Camper.
I see that. Hoppy Camper in 1993. That's what I see.
1993, baby. 30 years. That.
Man, oh man, dude. Wait. Wait a second. Are you guys going to have a 30-year anniversary this year?
30 years, man. We've been kind of like putting together some stuff. We're planning on doing a...
Going back to the marketing, dude. Like, blow this shit up. Let's go now. Blow it up now. Why do you got to wait till like the week before, a month before? Let's blow it up now.
You know, well, it's been... first quarter of the year just really isn't the time to like...
Says who?
Do activations. Like people aren't... it's a little bit of a slower time for... certain aspects of the industry and everything. We're leaning into it right now. It took a while also for all of the merchandise and everything that we've been planning on to get fulfilled. We've been dealing with supply chain issues.
I love that. It's with cute. Our purveyors. It's a great, cute professional story. Let me tell you something, Leonard. All right, tell me when this party you're going to have, when the anniversary is. I will start blowing it up now because. Let's just make get it out there.
Oh, it's gonna be fun as fuck.
You say that, when
but
is
we
it?
Don't. But we don't tell have it. We don't have it 100% tiled though. Oh so my like,
God, we're, what's this 100% tiled? Just give me a month of, and I'll blow it up now.
No, we're gonna do. I mean, look, I'd say like look to like midsummer. Midsummer, we're gonna do a big party at the brewery. I mean,
don't you dare do it on Pie and Beer Day. Don't you dare. I need.
I am working on a Monday.
Fair.
I'm a marketing tool, man. I don't work on it.
Okay, so summertime. Okay. All right, I'm come end of May.
We've got some plans in the oven. We hope to be able to introduce some stuff, you know, relatively soon. Obviously,
I hope so. Because
but it's one of those things. Like until things are until everything's like 100% confirmed. Like we can't go out there with. Announcements and
sure you can't. That's awesome. Send it my way. I'll do it.
we'll get it. Like once we're
I'll
ready.
I'll be a scapegoat. Once we're that ready, fucker we're has no idea what he's doing. He's just blowing smoke out his ass. I'll take it.
Once we're ready, it's going. But yeah, we've been doing a bunch.
This is a big deal.
So like this month with the way that the winter's gone, like spring didn't really come as expected. Excuses. Hey, well, no, but. We've been doing this. We've been working on this concept for a while now called Catch a Cut.
Cool.
And it's right next to your slug bag feature.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, and thank you for the shout out. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
shameless
man,
plug.
Good stuff there. Yeah, looking good on the looking good in print.
I love how you share it with one of the first beers. The roundabout is Cutthroat's one of the first local beers I ever served up at when I was bartending my first days.
Cutthroat is the first Utah brewed beer that I ever drank in 2002, the first time I ever came to Utah.
Damn. Anyway, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah. No, you're good. No, we're working on this promotion called Catch Cut. We're going to do some activations at retail locations around the zone, and it's like we got a little casting game that we do, win some prizes.
Oh,
like
so excited.
Hit the practice cast into a bucket. Stop. Win some prizes. We got a bunch of really cool sort of like throwback-ish or like fishing themed merch that we brought in and we're just looking to party, but we were looking to actively hit the ground like April 1 with this. But then winter never quit. And it was like, man, like, you know, it's like this stuff's like fishing themed and whatever. And nobody's thinking about fishing while it's just pounding snow on your driveway, dude.
So this is why you need to bring me into one of the marketing meetings. And I'm just going to be a thorn in your side and be like, bullshit, let's change it up.
No, it just ain't happening. Like, okay, come on onto the sales team and go to a bar and be like, hey, we want to do a fishing activation on your patio. while there's 2 fucking feet of snow there.
Is that a challenge?
Like, no. Leonard?
There's to me? No way. Oh, give it to me, homie. I will challenge accepted. But I love it in that
match. Everybody's like, pound sand, dude.
Like, no, pound snow. I got you. I see what you... But, so, in the next few weeks, we should be seeing something then.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of stuff coming up.
It's getting warmer.
I'm going to be... I mean, we'll be practice casting at Slackwater in Ogden,
fucking Ogden
next week.
That's like, who lives in Ogden, dude?
That's my dogs, dude. I'm gonna walk down, give away some swag, walk home.
I love that. I love that so much.
Super pumped. What a fucking team up there. Shout out to them.
Ogden or Slackwater? All of it.
Ogden, Slackwater.
Yeah, okay. I've never been.
Great folks, man.
It's the one Slackwater I've had with you.
Known those guys for years. So.
Oh, good.
Just really wonderful people and like solid pizza.
Oh, yeah. And I like their beer selection. I think them and the Bayou have the best in the state by far.
For sure. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing it. We'll be doing these activations all around. We're trying to hit, you know, honestly, as many bars as we can.
I love this.
I bought a shitload of flies. I don't know. I'm not into fishing, but other guys on the team are. What do you call them? It's just flies, right?
Lure, fly, I don't know. You're looking, I don't fish. We're both, we're both mustache guys that don't fish. I got you.
Yeah, I'm into mustaches. It's shitty mustaches.
It's not a shitty mustache. Oh, and mine's not shitty. Get out of here.
Well, no, yours is good. Mine's,
no, it's not.
I've been waiting since the late 80s, man, for like shitty mustaches.
Dude, I like
to be back in style.
Right. Leonard, I like your look.
And this
right
is
now.
My time.
I'm telling you right now, I'm digging your look. I like it. I like the 6-panel hat. Like, I'm digging right now, dude. Low crushing. But I think you should release that shit now. That's my opinion.
We're coming out. We're talking to a bunch of folks about it, and we've got some stuff lined up. So, like,
I'm giving you guys 30 days from today. Today is the 17th. You got 30 days, or else I'm going to be making noise. I'm gonna
17th? Oh, man.
I'm going to be busting down the door at Uinta.
About my calendar.
Be like, listen, homies. But I know in the Slug magazine that you brought up, you have this awesome article about this individual, and then the right-hand side, you have this huge-ass, full-page, cutthroat Uinta marketing panel, if you will, and then there's a QR code.
Yeah.
If people didn't read it, they don't see it. But if you scan the QR code, something magical happens.
You go to a website, man.
What? And your boy totally scanned that, by the way. I scanned it on the digital copy. I didn't know. I didn't see it in the real copy, but they both work.
I had to teach my... I'm sorry, wife, but I taught my wife yesterday how to digitally scan a QR code.
Hey.
It's fucking weird, right?
It is.
You're supposed to take with a picture of the camera, and it doesn't make any sense.
It's different, for sure, because you can also do that with words and translate it into different languages, which is still kind of surreal. It's kind of almost too...
I don't... Like, what is this future that we live in?
It's like a Fifth Element kind of stuff I don't like. No, but I dig this. I dig this. I dig what you guys are doing. As a big dog, I talked to you guys a lot about this. You guys are kind of, and Jeremy's a great, the last time I had a conversation on air about this is, you went to kind of like a big influencer here in Utah. But at the same time, sometimes you guys feel like you're in a different market, a different scheme. We talked about earlier grocery stores, just barely. Without the details, I'm just saying the smaller breweries... Do you think there's kind of a divided-ness with the bigger breweries and the smaller breweries? Because you got, I feel like you can put Squaws and Wasatch, Uinta, Red Rock on one side, and then all the other ones on the other side.
Well, I think that's a bit of a mischaracterization.
Talk to me about it.
Well. And to follow that up, I would say yes and no. Yes, the co-op and Uinta are significantly larger than most of the other
like
breweries.
Like level crossing, Keto's.
But if we're talking, I mean, the first part to put into that would be like Red Rock does about... a significantly lower amount of barrelage per year than either the co-op or Uinta does.
Okay.
They've, t- definitely got a larger brand, owing in large part to their high level of quality. Okay. And their retail locations. I mean, they're a very large company. I mean, there are hundreds of people that work for them, with all of their restaurant locations and everything.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Uinta, we make significantly more beer than them. I think last year, or I don't know exactly where the numbers came out. It was somewhere in the 40,000 barrel range.
Hot damn.
You know, where I believe they're in single digit thousands.
Gotcha.
But in contrast, we've got about 60 employees. We're a really small team. There are two of us that do marketing, handful of people in sales.
Yeah.
Wonderful folks in the pub and just incredible people in production and packaging. Just hammering at home, like doing, I always like to say, like a lot with a little. You know, and the fact of the matter is we've got this incredible, like, huge, modern brewing system.
Yeah.
That does 120 barrels.
I can't believe it.
Per batch.
I want to brew on that thing so bad. I really do.
It is so wild. It's so cool to watch other people do it. I have no interest in
going
anywhere
in the next couple
those,
months.
Like,
watch me. I'll brew on that. Watch me brew on that system in the next couple months. I'm telling you right now. I'm just seeing it. I don't know how. I'm going to make it happen. I just want to see that machine so
but
bad.
But it's like it's funny. Like one of the things that I've always focused on since I came into this role is locally personalizing this brand.
Okay.
Because we are, I mean, every single one of us lives here.
Yeah.
I mean, we work over on the west side of Salt Lake. We are Uinta is located inside of Salt Lake City proper, specifically because of the quality of the municipal water.
Yeah.
And I mean, we all live right here. We work right here. We're a surprisingly small team for the amount of output that we have.
And I agree with all of what you said. I guess as a challenge, what I want to see from the Uinta team is I want to see more Uinta teams doing more of the events. I want to see more Uinta stuff at the small things. Like if Keto throws on a party, I want to see Uinta people there. If Two Row throws a party, I want to see someone there. If there's a tap takeover, I want to see people there. Not just the same.
Shut up. I mean, we'll do that, but they don't call us.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I mean, that's it.
That's where I felt the disconnect between the big.
There's a certain outfit in town that promotes a lot of local breweries in a collaborative fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a specific conversation with them a couple of years ago. And I said, hey, how come we're never on the flyers? How come we're never in the shared posts? And they said, because you don't need it.
Ah, so is that, does that sting or is that, how do you feel when you hear that?
I mean, I get why people would say that, but.
But at the same time, I think
it's pretty fucking lame.
I don't see the reason for it. I guess if you look at the Taste Masters, let's go on that account real quick. If I see something, movement, I'll go ahead and repost it. If someone tags me in something, I'll go ahead and repost that.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I do Squires and Wasps. That's the same as I would do Level Crossing and TF or Two Row and Prodigy Brewing, right?
Right. So why aren't we there?
I don't know. I don't get why when
Hans hit us up about supporting your event that we were going to do a little ways back,
yeah.
It didn't end up. I was like, there was no hesitation.
Absolutely.
I instantly responded, yes, let's go.
Yeah.
But you have to fucking call us.
Yeah, that's right. So it's kind of sad or ironic when someone, that's an empty glass over there.
Oh, hey, baby.
But I see how Uinta kind of gets, because you guys are too big, you guys get pushed to the side, which is not a correct statement. Oh, yeah. I would go with the one on your right hand first, and then, sorry, we have Mr. Trad Hopkins, host of the podcast today. I didn't think you were going to make it, so I didn't put a microphone up.
Hi. Hello.
So Chad is currently drinking the Italian Pilsner from a brewery down south, according to you guys. And then we're also drinking the Caravan IPA, the double IPA.
A wonderful brewery, I would add.
UNC is a wonderful brewery.
Oh, no. The one down south.
Oh, yeah. Silver Reef? Zion?
Wait.
But, so...
Come on. But we're drinking a beer that David made, and it's delicious.
David and Julia made. And Derek... I mean, there's a team effort. Derek, Julia...
Derek stood in the back and judged them while they did that. Probably.
So, but going back to that, I like this. I like where we're going with this. But how can we mend the bridge when it comes to... Thank you. When it comes to the big people being forgotten. Because I look at Squaws and Wasatch, and the biggest mouthpiece right now today for Squaws and Wasatch in Utah is Libby Taylor.
Yeah.
Libby Taylor is going out of her way, driving herself insane to like promote, hey, just because we're big boys, our shit slaps, come support us, come hang out, blah, blah, blah. But I don't see someone like that in the Uinta side.
Yeah,
I don't see a Libby Taylor.
Yeah, we haven't really. I mean,
not because you guys don't have one or you can't.
We're all here and we have our personal relationships.
And that's why I feel like I wish you guys, I saw more Uinta staff because you guys have a big staff. I wish I saw more.
We don't though. We got like 60 people.
Then I better know each and every single one.
You knock off like 10 of those and that's the pub. You knock off like, I don't know what, like 15, 20 of those and that's packaging.
Mm.
And then what's left? People brewing all the time. Like when it comes to brewer's front market of the house, like out in the market operations,
yeah,
it's myself, my director, two street sales guys, and a sales boss. Mm. That's it. There's five of us.
I don't think people understand
actively
that,
in the market.
People don't understand that. People think it's Uinta has like a staff of like 1,000 people.
We don't. I've talked to plenty of other local brewers who think we have some sort of like NASA Area 51-esque like warehouse full of like
it's a common miscued thing, I think.
Event, yeah, tents and draft trailers and all of this.
No, you're right.
I mean, we're very fortunate to have a really wonderful relationship with our local distributor, General Distributing, like,
yeah,
like a bunch of great people there who you know, get our beers out into the market.
Shout out Barry.
Yeah exactly. But no, we don't. We actively try to talk to as many people as we can and be involved in as many events as we can.
Yeah,
But there are only so many of us.
And at the same time, I can see why people don't reach out to you because you don't need it. I don't like that, and I want to somehow erase that. That bugs me. That bugs me so much.
No, I get that. There doesn't a week go by that I am not in an interaction where the, oh, you don't need it.
That bugs me so much. That bugs me so much. Oh my God. It's
because we're not
bullshit. You're my family. You're in our family and I give fucks about you. You should be given fucks about. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. I don't give a fuck if you're making more, producing more barrels, or you have this small system. You could be doing home brewing scale, and I'd still support and love you. You're doing something for us, right? You're looking at, look, you mentioned Hans Kombucha, or HK Brewing, excuse me.
Yeah.
They're doing great things, and they're not necessarily beer makers. I can't judge them by the barrels they're putting out. What the fuck? They don't speak that right now, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're still doing great shit. There's awesome coffee producers that are doing stuff.
If the quality's good and people are actually interested in being part of their community.
Suke Sake. Like Suke Sake technically is not making their product currently, as far as I know, Chad, correct me if I'm wrong, not currently making sake in Utah, but they are producing in, like, they're making in Colorado, right?
Colorado.
So it's Colorado, but they are Utah owned. They're local from Utah. They are. So they haven't figured out their setup yet. But it doesn't mean exactly, foot in the door before they come here. It's not because I can't support them because they're too small. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Jill Kai and all them, they're kicking ass, and their product slaps.
Phenomenal product.
Yes, and they're people, and they are great people, right? I don't care how big or small you are. That should be right, man. I'm sorry you have to go through that. At the same time, I know that it's going to challenge you guys to work around that. That's what excites me.
You know what? It's...
Because look at you guys.
It's something when I... So when I came into you into, like, 4 years ago, it's something that's on our radar. It's something that we're aware of. Like, there are people who think that we're too big to be local. And that's fine. That's totally understandable. But that really isn't... Yeah. Yeah, that shit's fire, right?
Oh, my God.
Shut up. Lauren Lurch, Ian Fuller, Paul Konopelski. I'm going to get shit for that.
That's fine.
I can't do it. And Ryan Murphy. Like that's like the top, that's like the head of the brewing staff.
The brew team in a way?
Yeah. God, they are just fucking crushing it. Like, our beers are tasting so good.
Okay, I'm jumping in here. I mean, when Caravan came out, it blew my mind as like an incredible Imperial IPA, right? So yeah. You guys go Imperial instead of double on the style. And it was phenomenal. It came out, and drinking this right now, I'm like, oh my God, this is like even better. So
dangerous.
It's so good.
I'm
not like a science guy like you guys. I'm like a words and images guy, but like when I talk to the brewers, we've invested in some equipment and we've sort of tinkered with some processes to like improve our hop utilization so that we're getting these flavors
always growing, continuing to push yourselves. So you brought one more IPA for us that everyone seems to be liking like right now, and I'm gonna give you something. I've never had this beer.
You never had a freeze frame?
I've never had a freeze frame.
Hot damn.
Yeah.
Ooh, baby. Well, and we're probably going in like the wrong order here, but.
No, we went Pilsner. Oh, yeah, we are. Yeah. Imperial IPA, and then it's a session IPA. What kind of IPA is this?
What's that? It's a cold IPA.
Oh, cold IPA. So you serve it cold. Is that what makes it cold?
Yeah, IPA? That's why it's cold. That's why it's cold. It's cold because it doesn't care about you.
Oh, I like that one too. That's a good one.
That's why I brought that, because I thought it would be like controversial, right?
So what's the story behind this one? Did you help with the label, logo, recipe?
Do the mountains turn blue?
Does the hops turn green when it's cold?
Well, okay.
Does the compass turn when it's cold? Like, what's going on?
So we did actually. This label art was made by a local artist named Brett Farron.
Shout out, Brett.
Yeah, so good, man. Really wonderful artist. Does a lot of really cool stuff.
I like this
did
label.
We did like a pineapple pina colada milkshake beer a couple of years ago.
The Rocopoco Loco Loco, whatever it was called?
No, Rocopoco. Rocopoco is a different. We did like during shutdown, we released like a Crooked Line pina colada milkshake IPA.
Oh yeah, that was good.
It was a PK made that beer. You guys know PK. Shout out PK.
Shout out PK.
Where are you at?
Who designed these labels?
Brett Farron.
The local artist did.
Those are awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Brett Farron came out really cool. It's funny, when this concept first came up, I jokingly said to our marketing director, okay, so it's going to be a blue and green label with a hop cone and an ice cube.
Oh, my God.
And we had a good laugh, and we went through the entire exercise, and we were like, no, that's actually, that is what it should be.
5%, crushable, 16 ounces.
5%. These are in 16s and 19s.
Oh.
Hot damn, baby.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
It's a stovepipe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, stovepipe cans, 19.2.
You want to ask this question then, Chad?
You want us doing stovepipes now, which is kind of a cool craft beer can size, because it's It uses the same amount. I mean, it's sustainable because it uses the same amount of metal, aluminum, yeah, as a 16-ounce can.
Beautiful. It's Uinta has done 19s in the past. When we did it before, we always had to use mobile canners because we never had the required equipment. We recently bought change parts for our rotary can filler. And that allows us to fill 12, 16, 19.2-ounce cans with the same level of quality that you get out of that rotary filler that we get, as opposed to like the inline fillers that would come in on the mobiles, which was always part of the issue. You know, our concern is not always, but we're always looking at shelf lives and
sure,
and,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, and quality, and user quality. So inline fillers are never like the ideal solution for us. So finally getting these change parts in, oh man, big up our maintenance team for doing these changeovers. It's insane. We had to do a bunch of changes to like the rails on our infeed lines and a bunch of other things that I don't even know about. But yeah, now we're able to fill all of these different size formats on our own rotary filler with this high level of quality, with this lower level of DO pickup, and put out a better product out there. So now we actually can push 16s and 19s out to a larger audience than we were able to before. We've been doing it for a while, but we never really were comfortable to push it out too far.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
You know, because of shelf lives.
Right. You know, all that kind of. I like this. This is really nice. This is a great session. This is really cool.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of other people that have worked on this. But your boy, Graham Doherty, worked his absolute dick off on this beer. And I think it shows, man. It tastes so good. There were some early iterations that were like, okay. There were some mid-range versions that were like, yeah, cool.
Shout out Graham Doherty.
And I think it hit, man.
Shout out Graham. So I like this. I like Uinta's products. I know I can count on it. Every time I open it, it's going to taste the same. I like that. As long as it's within spec, within range. Now, I was telling Raganese the other day, I feel bad telling this, but I opened a can or a bottle of Cutthroat on the golf course.
Oh, well, then you fucked up. Because we haven't made bottles in a couple of years.
Exactly. So that bottle, I look at the date, it was like a year and a half old. Yeah. Oh, didn't know that. After I opened it, I drank it. I'm like, oh, Jesus. And then, oh, yeah. Leonard looked at that already. Anyway.
I looked at that. I was like, oh, did I make that box?
The mixed packs. But so I know that Uinta is going to be the same every time. And that's what I want. Like in a Budweiser, in a Pacifico, in a Pabst, it's going to be the same every time. So I like the consistency that Uinta has and that can still sustain that every single time, right? My challenge to Uinta, Leonard.
Okay.
Love yourselves more over there at Uinta. You guys kick ass. I want to see more Uinta staff at local events, not just the big party like collaboration festivals. I want to see them at like the bottle shares and the industry things.
Leonard and Lauren. I'm going to say Leonard and Lauren are the ones that might come through.
Chad saying Leonard and Lauren are the ones that come through. There's more than just those two.
I don't come through to shit, man.
So
I
now
got
just
kids.
Lauren.
I go Leonard. I see Leonard.
But I want to see more of the staff. I want to see more who's behind the scenes.
That's what I'm saying, though. Lauren and Leonard, you got them to come.
That's
out
the thing, man. I think more. That's, you know,
that's my challenge.
To me, Jeremy. Man, like we've got all these.
Yeah, Raganese comes out.
We've got all these great people that work for us, and
so let them shine. Let us all meet them.
You know what? But they, it's like we said earlier, like they come in the morning, they do a job and they go home.
That's fine.
Like, we got a bunch of dudes like,
how do we change that?
The guy, it's an introverted. Like one of our packaging leads is like awesome. He's been with us for years. Homeboy, if he's not working, he's skiing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, he's not trying to come out to
so spring
like
and summer. Events and whatnot, what's going on?
You know?
Where's he at?
I don't know. Probably camping.
That's
them.
What I'm saying. So,
them dudes, if they're not working, they're in the woods.
I just say, I think it should be cool to see these awesome individuals that you work with, your coworkers, these beautiful shining stars, out in the field a little bit. Like, hey, let's meet up at TF's Oktoberfest. Yeah. An anniversary party at Roja or Hopkins or, you know.
But we're not invited to those.
Shut the fuck up. Because that's the other thing is I hate that. You guys are invited, and I'll send them. If I have to text you all, I will individually. But the thing about that is these collaborative efforts are like, oh, you went just too big. That's not on us. That's probably on what they see. And I hate that because I'm going to try to erase that stigma because I hate that stigma.
Like, if you want us to be there, we'll be there. Right. But like, people got to call us, dude.
I want you to
like
be there.
Everybody, if you're somebody in the industry, and I'm pointing at Chad right now, and you know, man, I love you, man. You got my fucking number.
Now I do.
Hi. Yeah, I mean,
hello.
It's just call me. Shit. Or if you hit, like, honestly, if you don't have my number and you don't have Jeremy's number, and I keep saying Jeremy, and you think I'm talking about Raganese. We got a couple of Jeremys. But if you don't know one of us, just email info@uintabrewing.com. It's going to go to my spam filter. And I might respond. But if it's a local event, I'm going to fucking respond.
Find him on the Insta. His phone number is 80. Just kidding.
Shit. It don't matter. You give it out. I don't answer that shit.
You went to more. That's
so David's saying, how can we get Uinta more involved in the brewing community?
Yeah, they're not too big.
Yeah, I mean, they are big. I mean, Uinta's huge. They're like probably the biggest like brewery and like locally owned.
It depends.
Brewery in Salt Lake right now. I mean, for a long time.
I think probably the co-op says they're the biggest, and I think we say we're the biggest.
But yeah.
I think it just depends on how
and it's still a local
theirs.
Company, but it's like you were saying earlier, like there's 30 or 60 of you, and it's like,
yeah, ain't too many, man.
You guys have a pub, you guys have
like shit. When I was working at the last spot I worked, there were like 250 of us or something like that.
Oh shit,
you know.
And for us, like we're a tiny brew pub with no distribution or canning lines or any of that stuff, and there's 30 of us here. We've got a lot of people here. So.
It takes a lot of that's the thing. We're efficient, man. We're efficient.
Yeah, and Uinta is awesome. But I see your people. Like, I know them. I see them out and about. But particularly you and Lauren are the ones that I see out in the community. Lauren's out there doing cool shit. Like, you're out there at all the events and like. But we do need some more Uinta love. We need your people coming out, saying that's hi. Cool.
Just call me. Just call me.
Just come hang. It's fine.
We're there.
Say I work at Uinta, and we're like, cool.
We got the thing is, you know, we've all had our difficulties like during and post COVID with like staffing and all that kind of stuff. But we have a lot of people who stick around, man. And so like we just like our staff, like, so if there's 60 of us, like a lot of us are just coming into work, doing that work, going home to our kids, you know, going camping, like going skiing, whatever. Like a lot of us just aren't really in the scene, I guess.
And I don't think it's because on purpose, just not happening. Huh? But I just want you guys to know that it's a two-way street, because some people may think you're too big, and that may have internalized and like, oh, we are too big. That's not true. So yeah. I want to erase the stigma on both sides of the spectrum.
I mean, we certainly don't feel that
way. I don't
way.
Think so. But like, I saw Graham here multiple times, but then Graham's gone. So now there's the other employee I saw. You know what I mean? But if you're someone in the industry.
I've been in here. I came in here and drank like 4 Saisons the other day. Shit.
Saisons are good, by the way, Chad. No, but I like what's happening at Uinta. I like good. You guys have. I love Uinta. I've always loved. There's always a special place in my heart for Uinta.
We got, man, the beer's so good. It's been good. It's always getting better. That's the thing that I love about.
Bring back wild.
Bring back wild. And. And the Cajun cork.
Don't put that evil on me, Chad. I love that beer. I love wild. We poured wild at my wedding. Like,
wow.
10, 11 years ago. I love that.
I love that you've been married for over 10 years. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. But shout out my wife. She's
your wife is badass, by the way.
More patient than I am.
That's fine. We need that. But Leonard, I appreciate the time you've taken to come sit down, hang out, share your story. I feel like I've gotten to know you better, and yeah. I feel like the community is going to know about you guys better. What can we do as the family to help you, Leonard, as a person, you, Leonard, as the Uinta employee, and you, Leonard, as our homie?
Oh, shit, man. That ain't about me. It ain't about me. I'm just...
I didn't say it was about you. So how can I help you? How can we help you?
I'm just a guy here doing a job. You know, the thing for me is like, man, we make... really good beers. Like, it's indisputable. We make really good beers, and we make them fairly consistently. And I'm just so proud to be part of this team with a bunch of wonderful people who are always trying to do a better job making consistently good beers what was the word I had for that? Oh, continually improving.
Yeah, and you guys always are. I mean, I've had 801 hundreds of times, and you guys are still fine-tuning that beer. When I first had it, it was awesome. When I had it again, it was awesome. And you were, apparently this last batch was the best batch of all time, which I don't know because...
Oh, you saw that brew sheet too.
But you know the thing about it is, you guys are always fine-tuning, and that's what I respect as brewers. As liquid chefs, as passionate people, as artists, we're always fine-tuning, not always happy enough. You can go, everyone's talking about, you know, Level Crossing beers or TF beers or Fisher beers. They're always fine-tuning. I don't care how many medals you have. I don't give a shit.
Everybody, you always
get better. Fine-tuning.
You always
don't get comfortable.
Better.
Get uncomfortable, right? I love it. So thanks for being part of this industry, Leonard. Thanks for being our friend, part of the family. And dude... respect the fuck out of you, man.
Fuck yeah. Glad I got to know you recently. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and on that note, we're going to cheers this. Pour yourself some beers, boys.
Cheers.
We got an Italian Pilsner and a Freeze From.
Cold IPA. So, hot take. What makes it a cold IPA?
It's served cold. On that note, until the next beverage, my friends. Cheers. Been another episode of the Tastemasters. Find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, Twitter at @the_Tastemasters, or on Facebook as the Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, DM us for any questions, or leave a review. Tell your friends, and thanks for listening. Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at @Fuse_Audio.